Okay, okay, okay. Let's cut the music and let's cut the crap. Let's get right down to business. You are now tuned in to Starstruck Radio, presented by CTC Sports, starring Cammy Griffin and myself, Patrick Walker. But hey, you can call us Cam and Pat. We got a very exciting show for you guys this week. A couple of well-renowned guests. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, everything from approaching the season opener with the New York Giants to the Final 53 being wrapped up. The Christian Michael pickup, even the Greg Hardy suspension, and what's going on with that. Cam, what's going on with you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Pat, because it's finally game week. It feels like we've been waiting years and years for the regular season to finally get here. We're just a few days away.
Woo!
Just as a reminder to all the listeners out there that the Cowboys host the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football, September 13th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. For the most part, Pat, like you said, the final 53-man roster seems to be wrapped up, although it sounds like the Cowboys were flirting around with the idea of adding an offensive tackle today named Charles Brown, who was drafted in the second round of the 2010 draft, who's currently 28 years old. So that's kind of breaking news that they didn't end up signing him, but still, we can never truly feel comfortable that the 53 will stay where it's at.
No, absolutely. I mean, look at what happened with the Christian Michael pickup. The 53-man roster is never finalized truly, not really until the trade deadline. And even then, afterwards, you can still pick up one or two and release a few. So it's going to be a very interesting year, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. It should be an exciting year. There's high expectations. So I'm definitely excited to get this show on the road.
Absolutely. And speaking of exciting, how about these two guests we have with us today? We got the highly respected Landon McCool from Blogging the Boys, and we got the very knowledgeable Bobby Belt from Cowboys Cast Radio on Cowboys Nation. Are you as turned up as I am to have these guys on the show today?
Oh, I'm so excited. I love interacting with both of these guests on Twitter. They have great tweets, I should say, sometimes funny, but definitely very knowledgeable. I love reading their opinions on the pickups and the cuts we've been going through the past few weeks, so I'm really excited to ask them a few questions.
Absolutely. We got some questions here as well in the mailbag from some of you guys out there in Cowboys fandom to present to these two guys. So let's just get right to it. You guys stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this wonderful non-commercial break.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some phones rolling in my ride.
We have the very knowledgeable Bobby Belt with us from Cowboys Cast Radio and Cowboys Nation, also known as Sports by Dallas on Twitter. How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing well, but I think that's the marginally knowledgeable Bobby Belt. But thank you. It's great to be here regardless.
We are so happy to have you here.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you guys are going to be on Cowboys Cast in a couple weeks. We got some cross-pollination here. It's perfect.
Absolutely. And as far as the very knowledgeable part goes, sir, you're going to have to own up to that. We're not going to let you marginalize yourself at all, particularly on CTC Sports. I think you know what our CTC stands for, so please follow the rules.
Okay. I got to cut the crap. You're right. I am the greatest Cowboys analyst around.
There you go.
Looks like a preschooler compared to me when I start talking Cowboys
there
football.
There you go. Let's start doing it in your Jerry Jones swagger. There you go, sir.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So we got some questions in the mailbag that we received at CTC Sports from a lot of the CTCers and fans of Cowboys Cast and just the Dallas Cowboys fans in general. One of the more prevalent seems to be coming out of the OTAs, training camp, the preseason. It looks like the Cowboys have a coup situation again wherein McClay, I mean, he's at it again, Bobby. We've acquired some really strong rookie talent. Looks to be like one or more of them could break out this year. I mean, you're talking about a freakish athlete like Byron Jones. You're talking about Randy Gregory, who looks to be the new pressure guy. alongside Greg Hardy and Tyrone Crawford. You're talking about rookie Lyle Collins just bullying guys down there on the line. As far as your opinion goes, who do you think of those guys, or maybe someone I didn't mention, that ends up being such a standout guy that he, you know, runs away with Rookie of the Year for Dallas like Zach Martin did?
It wouldn't be Byron Jones, just because that's not that I doubt his skill set. I think he's got the potential to be a top five cornerback one day. My problem more is that it's just such a difficult position to quickly translate to the NFL. You know, people don't step in typically like Terrence Newman and set the world on fire as rookie corners. So I would say probably not Byron Jones. Obviously not going to be Chaz Green. Damian Wilson will contribute. We'll see how much. But I think you're looking at Ryan Russell or Randy Gregory. Both of them performed really well in the preseason. And while Randy Gregory may not fill up the stat sheet, or Ryan Russell fill up the stat sheet this first year, just because of the high rotation on the defensive line and the fact that they're going to kind of have to earn their way onto the field early on, then I think stats aside, possibly not Rookie of the Year level just because he won't have gaudy stats, but Randy Gregory is the guy who will have a tremendous impact, I think.
Okay, that's a good, solid pick. So then the question to piggyback off that one would be, what would be a terrific numerical year for us, Randy Gregory? What would he have away as far as, let's say, number of sacks or pressures on the QB, so that at the end of the year you can look back and say, you know what, that was a damn good pick?
I think you'll see Randy Gregory's impact the most wouldn't be in his sacks at all or in his pressures or anything like that. I think where you're going to see Randy Gregory making an impact is in the way that the interception spike for guys like Brandon Carr and Corey White and people like that, who are going to benefit from rushed throws from guys like Eli Manning and, you know, whoever the hell is playing quarterback in Philadelphia and, you know, things like that. And so I would say that Randy Gregory, I'll say you're probably looking at, I'm going to guess 5 sacks probably is a good number. I just don't think he's going to see the field enough this year. And he's going to be, like I said, in such a high rotation area that he's not going to be able to put up gaudy numbers. But I think what you'll see is his difference will be felt in the secondary, where there will be more incomplete passes, more interceptions, you know, more rush throws, more plays broken up in the backfield that go for negative yards that he's not necessarily a part of. You saw it a lot in the Minnesota game, where there was a lot of team sacks, you know, where specifically one of the sacks Randy Gregory got during the preseason, which came against Minnesota, couldn't rightly be credited to him, I don't think, because it was, you know, Greg Hardy and DeMarcus Lawrence really pushing the play, and he just walked right into Randy Gregory's arms. So I think you'll see Randy Gregory in on a lot of that, forcing plays, whether it be in the passing game or in the run game, or forcing somebody into a sack into somebody else's arms. But that's the beauty of the defensive line. It's, the success is really going to be seen on how many sacks did they get as a unit, and how high did, you know, how much lower is the opponent's completion percentage, how many more interceptions were thrown. That's where I think you'll see a big leap, is in, you know, poor throws resulting in touchdowns, you know, run back by the secondary and things like that. So that's where I think you'll really see Randy Gregory's impact, not necessarily on the stat line for him, but for the defense as a whole.
And that's a good point, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was looking for him as more as like 5 or 6 sacks, like you said, but the impact really is going to be in the secondary. I mean, that pressure is going to create smaller windows, so those guys are going to be able to read and react, get some takeaways. So, Cam, it's funny because he came on trying to marginalize himself, and one question he just proved his worth.
Like I said, he's knowledgeable. I love following him on Twitter. And I actually agree with you. For what it's worth, my pick for Rookie of the Year is going to be Randy Gregory. I think he'll produce the most in our defense, according to Byron Jones and Ryan Russell. But looking ahead to the season opener, where we finally get to see Randy Gregory against some starters here, we play the New York Giants Sunday night. What do you believe will be the Cowboys' biggest challenge?
Man, it's hard for me to say anything about the Giants as challenging. Odell Beckham Jr. is a monster, of course. But other than that, I mean, if you can just key in on one guy, which is really all I think they're going to have to do, then there's not much more for you to be worried about. I guess the thing you'd most be concerned with, the biggest challenge, will be finding some footing in that linebacker core, because it has kind of been a hodgepodge, even though, you know, guys like Gashkar performed really well in the preseason.
That makes sense. So who do you think is going to be on Odell Beckham? Do you think it's going to be Brandon Carr?
Probably, just by default more than anything else. But, I mean, it's going to be Brandon Carr shaded by, you know, J.J. Wilcox or Barry. He's going to see a lot of coverage coming his way. And, you know, I think focusing on bringing pressure and things like that from, you know, Ryan Russell or Jeremy Mincy or Jack Crawford or whoever else on the defensive line, that's going to also, as we were just talking about, kind of contribute towards the coverage and probably make Brandon Carr look a lot better than he was last year. And I got to say, you know, as much as everybody likes to jump on Brandon Carr, and I'm one of them, it's cathartic. It feels really nice to criticize the guy. But, you know, he's as bad as he was last year at times. I mean, there were some games where he really stepped it up. But that Odell Beckham Jr. thing that everybody keeps throwing his way, that was a miracle catch.
Right.
Deion would have been beat on that play. Brandon Carr had committed pass interference, tried to pull him down, and he still caught it. There was nothing he could do. So I don't think you're going to see, short of miracle catches like that, I really don't think OBJ is going to do, you know, have another 10-catch, 160-yard performance or something like that against them. I think they're going to be prepared for it, because that's really their only threat in my mind.
Same thing goes for Claiborne. You hear a lot about Claiborne not staying healthy or never playing a preseason game or choking it, but Carr and Claiborne should both have a huge year, just simply because we actually have a pass rush now, or we should. There's high expectations for
one. And Claiborne has sounded so much more mature this offseason and seems so much more motivated. And this is a big step for him, I think. You know, I think in the past his thing has been to prove people wrong, and there's always a lot of talk about somebody being motivated to prove people wrong. You know, I think Morris Claiborne's out to prove something to himself this year, and I think that's more important. I think that's a better motivation, is that he's out there to show that, you know, just to himself, that he can be a good football player and not the Stuart Smalley, you know, doggone it, people like me type skit from SNL, but that he's really got a tremendous skill set, and a lot of it's what's going on above the shoulders. And I think he's worked out a lot of that. So I actually think that Morris Claiborne's going to surprise some people this year.
What do you think, Patrick? Do you think OBJ is the only challenge that we're going to face Sunday night?
Absolutely. When I put together my week one prediction on CTClive.com, it was prior to the knowledge that Victor Cruz would not be playing. I mean, if Cruz was there opposite OBJ, then that would be quite a challenge for our cornerbacks, especially with us losing Scandrick for the year. But now that Cruz is down indefinitely, like Bobby said, I mean, all we have to do is just key in on OBJ, and then now you add the upgraded defensive line, being able to apply pressure to Eli, who is already an interception machine. If pressure is applied, I mean, I think our cornerbacks are going to have a huge night on September 13th. And I will say, as far as the Morris Claiborne thing goes, hopefully he does surprise. I am on record not necessarily being a Morris Claiborne supporter, just simply based on what he has or has not provided to the team just yet, based on our sacrifice to go up and get him. However, I would love to eat crow when it comes to Morris Claiborne, because for me, it's all about the Cowboys coming away with a win. And if he can contribute, by all means, let's see him do that. And it's a good point made by Bobby. It looks like this year he's trying to prove something to himself and not the, look what I can do, you know, like Stewart on SNL. So speaking of the Giants game, so based on everything you're saying, what do you think the score ends up being? Do you think we run away with that game, or do you think it's a little bit close because it's a rivalry and we know each other so well?
Yeah, I mean, there's still some things you got to work out in the running game. And, you know, Dez didn't quite get to get as many reps in the preseason and practices and such like that to kind of get his feet under him. So I don't expect them to come out and be world beaters on offense right away. That'll take some time to get things together. I think you're looking at a few weeks until Dallas is really clicking on all cylinders. So because of that, while I don't view the Giants, their offense and things like that, necessarily as much of a threat, I don't think that we're going to put it all together like magic on Sunday night. So I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win fairly easily, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, a 38-3 blowout or something like that. I think you're probably looking at, you know, probably 24 points, something like that, and I don't expect New York to score more than about 14. So I think what you're looking at is probably, you know, a 24-10 ball game or something along those lines.
Okay, so then that puts that win in the that puts that game in the win column for the Dallas Cowboys, which brings me to my next inquiry from the mailbag. What is your season prediction as far as the regular season record?
You know, we had talked about this on Cowboys Cast last week about where I thought everything. We kind of went game by game, and I can't give a firm prediction. It's tough for me to say, you know, where they're going to end up in the season. I know that's such a cop-out. I've got them 12-4, and minimum I'm saying they're in the NFC Championship game. What they do from there is anybody's guess. I think they get a 1 or 2 seed, make it to the NFC Championship game. After that, anything could happen. They could make the Super Bowl. They could win the Super Bowl. They could lose right there in the NFC Championship game. I don't know. But I've got them at 12-4 this season again and an appearance there in the NFC title game.
Okay. So I'm not going to reveal what my regular season prediction is. Everyone has to make sure they stay tuned to CTCLive.com for those previews as we roll them out each day. That being said,
I'm glued to the website.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We do it for you guys. Now, but don't try to
We love all your support, too. You've been supporting us like crazy on Twitter and everything, so thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You guys have been great. You guys have been big supporters of what we're doing at Cowboys Cast and everything like that, and so it's mutual.
We can't wait to join you coming up. What is that, like a week and a half?
I know. I'm super excited. Yes. We're coming up. Actually, getting close to just about a week and a half.
So because we let you cop out to a question about 45 seconds ago, and yes, I'm counting, now I have to get you to be specific on this one. So you say 12-4, which is a little bit higher in the loss column than I have them finishing at, which, again, I won't reveal just yet. But my question to you is, who do you have us taking those four losses from, and why do you see us walking away without the win?
Four losses, three of them on the road. We've got second week, I think they lose to Philadelphia on the road. I think you generally, it's a good bet that your biggest division rival, you split with them, is usually a solid assumption. And I don't think there's any way in the world the Cowboys lose DeMarco Murray's first game back in Dallas. And so just by default, I'm going to say they lose that first game on the road in Philly. I think they lose to the Patriots. I know there's a lot of haters out there. I'm one who doesn't like to bet against Tom Brady just as a general rule. So I'll say that they lose that one, especially because one of the areas that we've always really struggled against is big, talented tight ends, and the Patriots have two of them in Rob Gronkowski and Scott Chandler. I think that'll make it a really difficult cover for a lot of the day. I don't think they get blown out, but I think they lose that game. I think they lose the second of a Florida road trip, and they struggle against Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins. I think that one sneaks up on them a little bit, and the Dolphins take that one. Yes. And then even though
I like that pick.
And I'm a big Jay Ajayi guy, so, you know, that's another factor there. But honestly, I think it is, you know, Tannehill, I think, is going to step up and really kind of enter the upper echelon of quarterbacks this next year. And, you know, it's the second of a road trip there. You don't, you know, back-to-back road games can always be difficult. Miami is talented. They're not, you know, the same, you know, 1-15 Dolphins from, you know, years past. But I think that you're looking at probably, a close game, but I think it's one where Tannehill really performs well. So I got that. But then as the fourth loss, it's the third one they lose on the road, and even though they may be looking for some vengeance, I think the Packers ultimately win just because it's so hard to win in Lambeau in December. That's just not an easy game. And
Packers
one hurts. Yeah, it does, and you know, it's, we all know, anybody who listens to Cowboys Cast knows that I start off the show by telling you how many days it's been since Dez caught the ball. So I'm keenly aware of that pain there. But at the same time, it is Lambeau. You know, it's not an easy place to win. And they were 8-0 on the road last year, and they still couldn't go in there and beat Green Bay. And I know Dez caught the ball, but you're also looking at 4 minutes left for Aaron Rodgers to bounce around on one leg and pick them apart like he did on the following drive. So that wouldn't have sealed up the game necessarily, but it would have put us in a good position. But the Packers are a difficult matchup, and Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback in the game. So,
okay, and I, that Miami pick, that's frisky. That is absolutely frisky, sir. We love
well,
to hear.
Well, I mean, if I would have told you at the beginning of last year that the Cowboys go 12-4 and one of those will be a home loss to the Redskins, I mean, that would have been low on the list of, you know, games.
That's true. And I do believe you're correct. I think that we can't discount a Jordy Nelson-less Packers team. I mean, they're still led by Aaron Rodgers, and they still have some weapons. You know, they have a staunch running game that they've established over the past couple years. Very, very strong O-line. That's going to be a much closer contest than it was last year. I personally, you know what? No, I'm not going to say it because I've got to tune in. So, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been just the wonderful Bobby Belt, again, a.k.a. at Sports by Dallas on Twitter, representing Cowboys Cast Radio and Cowboys Nation. Bobby, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your support of CTC Sports. Cam and I, we just can't say enough about the good work that you guys are doing and how much we appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And like I said, it's a mutual feeling. And now I'm going to go dive into my CTC koozie and drink a couple beers.
I like that plan. And we look forward to having you back on.
Absolutely. I look forward to talking to you all in a couple weeks.
All right.
Okay,
thanks again, Bob.
Thanks.
All right, into the CTCers, Starstruck Radio will be right back after this non-commercial break.
I'm a classic man. You can be me when you look this clean. I'm a classic man. Calling on me like a young OG. I'm a classic man. Your knees get met by the street. Elegant, old-fashioned man. Yeah, baby, I'm a classic man.
Yes, indeed. Classic Man is exactly who we have here with us today on Starstruck Radio, presented by CTC Sports, starring Cam and Pat. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a treat for you today. We have the highly respected Landon McCool from Blogging the Boys. Landon, how goes it today, brother?
Hey, it's regular season week one. It couldn't be going any better. I'm just glad to be talking about real Cowboys football.
Absolutely, man. I'm having a hard time holding these Gators down.
Great intro.
That's
music,
exactly,
by the way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said earlier. It's finally game week. We've been waiting what seems like years for this 1 week to get here. But it's good to finally speak with you, Landon, other than the many and often funny interactions on Twitter, as you know. We're going to go ahead and start this off with your opinions on the whole Hardy situation in Dallas. So as you know or have read, there have been many multiple reports on Greg Hardy's suspension, on whether or not he will attempt to reduce his suspension to 2 games. Do you believe it stays put at 4? Do you think he's going to go ahead and try and reduce it?
You know, it's really tough to say at this point. I mean, to me and to a lot of different people that follow this pretty closely, it definitely seemed like, especially with the, you know, the latest rulings with what happened with Brady and you know, obviously all the other stuff that set precedent before this, you know, it really seemed like there was kind of a, you know, what's there to lose sort of scenario with trying to reduce it further from 4 games. Now, I think, you know, the NFL was smart to look at it at 4 games at this point, just because, or to have their patsy judge that was doing the mediation to reduce it to 4 games, because I think what that does is, A, it makes their mediator look more competent than he has in the past, and B, I think what it does is that 4 games really makes Greg and his legal team, and I think even the NFLPA, look real hard at how much has been reduced and say, well, do we really want to, you know, drag this out into court for, you know, possibly only 2 more games? So I think, you know, there's been several reports from people like I think it was Charles Robinson from Yahoo and maybe, if I'm not mistaken, someone from Bleacher Report, that were saying that Greg Hardy was kind of at a point where himself, that he was just done kind of doing the legal thing and was just tired of it and may not pursue it. But I don't know. I mean, to me, if it was me, I would try. And I would even try to get an injunction to see if you know, even if you lose the case, that you can serve those 2 games maybe later in the season. I think people have been looking at that as a negative, but that could be a positive, because that would mean that, you know, potentially he would miss 2 division games, because all the division games seem to be up front this year. So I don't know, there seem to be a lot of factors involved in here. I mean, here we are sitting you know, a couple of days away from the first game of the season, so I don't think that he will. I think he probably is going to ride the four games unless we hear something about it very last minute. But, you know, if he does decide to reduce it down to two games, I don't blame him just because I don't know that there's a lot for him to lose.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. You don't know if you don't try. So if I was going to at least try, and I know all of Cowboys Nation is hoping for those two games to be reduced. But at this point, we also have to be grateful that it was reduced to begin with to four games. I know many people believe it could be reduced to between six and eight. But speaking of Hardy, do you believe they should or will sign Hardy during the season, assuming he produces at a high level?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this all puts aside the nature of what, you know, he's accused of or was accused of and all that stuff. You know, if we get the straight Darryl Hardy for the first few weeks that he's back and he performs at the level that, you know, he's – or even close to the level that he was performing in, you know, 2013, the last time he really played a whole season, then, yeah, I think what you do is you try to find a way to maybe sign him – like to a 2 or 3 year extension, I think. I mean, I think you don't really want to sign him to some huge long-term deal necessarily unless you really think that he is a perfect fit for this culture. Now, he could be that. I have to say, like, the one thing that was shocking to me was his level of motivation. And I guess I shouldn't say shocking, but, you know, when I went to training camp, a couple different practices, the very first few practices I was out there, he would sprint. You know, he would do his drill. He'd go, like, you know, let's say it was a one-on-one drill. He would do his drill against Tyron Smith, and then when he was done, he would sprint back to his line with where the defensive linemen were and then, like, basically yell at himself if he didn't win. And, you know, it's that kind of thing that makes me think, well, maybe he's a good culture fit here. You know, he really does seem to want to work really hard. You know, there was that report that he kind of got on Davin Coleman about not hustling through the drills early on in his first few practices, and you know, there was a kind of a little pseudo fight that started of it. But that's the kind of thing that makes me think that he may be a good culture fit here, and he could be a good, you know, locker room guy, which is kind of crazy to say considering things, but he seems to be a good fit. And if that's the case, you know, why wouldn't you want to sign him to, like, maybe a, you know, 3-year extension? I think what you want to do is, if you want him, you sign him to an extension through right up until Randy Gregory's contract is up. See where Gregory and Hardy are at the end of that year, and then either sign one or both of them to the extension, probably more likely Gregory, and then letting Hardy go into free agency. And even at that point, he wouldn't even probably be 30 years old. So it'd be a good deal for both sides, I think.
Okay, that's a good point. I mean, especially I'm right there with you as far as if Hardy can come in and perform, which I fully believe that he will. He's going to put himself in a position where he has the leverage to walk back into the Cowboys front office and say, hey, you know, what are we looking at on a possible extension? Now, I don't know if they'd be willing to do that during the season, but then I'm curious if we go ahead and re-up on Hardy, where does that leave a player like Tyrone Crawford, do you think?
Well, I think you're right to think that those two are probably tied together just because they're both, you know, rushmen and they're both, you know, going to be coming up for big-time contracts within a year. I think you got to get Crawford done regardless. I mean, this guy clearly looks like he's, you know, your homegrown three-tech who is probably only going to get better this year. And if you're smart and if he'll allow it, I say you try to get a deal done in season with the hopes that maybe you get him before he completely blows up and suddenly he's costing you, you know, like, I don't know, $14 million a year. I mean, obviously you don't want him getting anywhere near Sue money, which is, I think he was getting something close to almost $20 million guaranteed this year,
insane.
Something like that. I mean,
yeah.
It's totally nuts. And so you definitely don't want him getting anywhere close to this. You know, our good mutual friend Katie Drummond did a really good mock-up on his site about, you know, comparing him to a potential Cindric Marks deal. And I think that's kind of a good base point to start from. I think they're both similarly talented and aged. And I think, you know, that's kind of where you would look at it. I think Crawford probably with what he how he finished last season, and if he starts strong this year, you know, it may force the Cowboys' hands to kind of, hey, let's start having this contract talk right now, so he doesn't even get close to sniffing free agency. And you know, it really depends on how he performs in the first half of the season to see exactly what kind of deal he has. But to kind of get to your larger question, either way, I think they can, as long as they structure it correctly, either way, I think they can do both of these guys, at least if they do a shorter-term deal with Hardy. I don't think there should be any reason that they couldn't get both of those guys under contract before next year.
Okay, valid point. Nothing that I disagree with there. Definitely, they are tied, but depending on how you manipulate the salary cap, which the Cowboys front office has shown, they've become the Bruce Lee of manipulating the salary cap with, you know, contract restructurings and things like that. It could definitely work, but we retain both and keep, you know, both of those guys happy. Speaking of players that could now be tied together, even on a very loose front, the Cowboys decided when they cut down to the 53-man roster that they were only going to keep two QBs on the 53, which gave me, I'm sure, a little bit of self-confidence in his backup role to Tony Romo. But then they went and got a Linehan toy in Kellen Moore. What do you think, if any, type of pressure that applies to Brandon Whedon? And do you see Kellen Moore possibly working his way up to Steel Whedon's spot?
I think he's got a ways to go. I think I liked Kellen Moore coming out of college. You know, I think he was obviously, you know, you can't argue with what he did in college. I mean, he was a, you know, 4-year starter at a up and coming, especially at the time. I mean, he basically was one of the people that helped put Boise State on the map, and I think, you know, when someone wins like that, you definitely have to, you know, to take notice and see exactly, you know, what they can do in the pros. Now, Kellen is also, you know, one of the poster childs for being, how do I put this? I don't want to call him Tebow because he's not Tebow, but in the same way, and that's an unfair way to go because he's a hot button name, but in the same way that he is a great college quarterback that maybe doesn't have the physical tools to be as great in the pros, that's him. Here's what I like about the kid. He's clearly a very cerebral quarterback. He clearly knows the game really well. I think he's going to be great for the quarterback room. I think he's going to be great for Tony to have another pair of eyes on the field. I think he's going to be great for the defense. Because this is the thing, is what you really want out of when you're filling your practice squad, especially with a quarterback, is you want a guy who's going to be able to challenge your defense every day. I mean, this is a guy who is going to be, you know, when they're not, you know, showing Jameel Showers for, you know, doing his best Russell Wilson imitation or Geno Smith imitation or any kind of athletic quarterback, Kellen Moore is going to be the guy who's going to be trying to take on your defense week to week. And you want a guy who is going to push them. I think that was one of the great things that Kyle Orton did when he was here. I think it was one of the better things that that John Kitna did when he was here. And those are backup quarterbacks, but these guys all kind of will work against the defense in practice. And I think having guys who are smart, who can see the holes in your defense and maybe help point them out, who can, you know, make adjustments on the fly while running offense from cards, which is all they really get when they are doing scout team stuff, I think those are important roles that kind of get lost, and people want to say, oh, this is the third quarterback. And, yeah, I'm sure they will give him every opportunity to, you know, potentially usurp Whedon as the backup quarterback. But I think more likely what it is that it gives you a smart guy in the QB room, which is another great pair of eyes for Tony on the sideline. And then on top of that, another guy who can challenge this defense, help them, you know, kind of figure out the holes in the defense and then, you know, help fill those gaps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the good news is you have front office guys like Will McClay who have such an unbelievably godlike eye for talent. I believe Kellen Moore is going to be I think he does have the potential. I mean, obviously it's not written in stone that he's going to usurp Whedon, to your point, but he does have the chance to do so. And worst-case scenario, you just brought someone in who's really going to push your defense to keep them at a high level between weeks. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. I mean, and speaking of talented guys that the Cowboys have decided to bring in, there's one that officially has Team McFadden a little bit nervous. Isn't that right, Cal?
Oh, yeah. As you know, here at CTC Sports, we are on the board with Team McFadden, but I'm trying to call it Team M now with Michael and McFadden. So we're switching it up a little bit, but as you know, for the most part, our roster seems to be set at the moment. As you know, surprising additions and cuts can come at any time, but this leads me to the most popular topic of the offseason regarding the Dallas Cowboys running back situation. Do you honestly believe Christine Michael eventually supplants both McFadden and Randall as a starting running back?
I think he has the physical ability to do so, but I don't think that necessarily means that he will eventually become the starter. Here's what I think Michael is. I think you should judge your expectations for Christine Michael at the same level at which the Cowboys invested in Christine Michael. All right, they gave up a conditional 7th-round pick based on, you know, him being on the 46-man roster more than 3 times in the next season. Right, that's not a very expensive buy. Right, and so keeping that in mind, that's where I think their expectation level is with him too. I think it's a guy who may not be on the 46-man roster every week, but I think they're going to work with him to see if they can get him to a place where he could earn a share of the carries, maybe even a lion's share of the carries. But at this point, I think you look at what Michael is, and to me, he's an investment he's an investment into the running back by committee situation. And I know that you guys are Team McFadden, and I know that the opposite side of that has been Team Randall. But while you guys have been doing that, I have been trying to yell at everyone that it should be Team Committee, because that's what I think it's going to be. And I understand that I think even they to a certain degree want to name a starter. You know, name a guy who will get probably more shares than the other guys in the committee. But I don't know that is anything more than a title, really. I think, you know, I think there may be weeks that Randall gets more carries. I think there may be weeks that McFadden gets more carries. But even then, what you want in that situation, when you're talking about splitting up the carries, or at least not giving all the carries, you know, or 85% of the carries to one guy, is you want depth. And you want guys who you can plug in there, know the system, and can physically do what you're asking them to do. And no matter if there's injuries, I think people consider the fact that there's running back by committee, so it's injury proof. Well, that's only true if you have numbers. So since we're kind of running a committee, we're going to need that 4th running back on the team so that we're not having, after one injury, to go to the street to pick up a running back. Now, you're not going to be so bad, you know, picking a running back off the street as compared to a, you know, quarterback, offensive tackle, cornerback, but it still is beneficial to have a guy who knows your system, knows the terminology, and, again, has huge upside. So the potential to be a guy that, yeah, could be, you know, quote-unquote, a number one back if he can get it all together. But from what I've seen from him in Seattle, he's a ways off. He's not quite all the way there yet, and it has nothing to do with his physical side of the game. It has everything to do with discipline, knowing the playbook, and football intelligence. And I think once the coaches can maybe hopefully get through to him on those levels, then you may see him starting to take more and more snaps away from the top 2-3 guys. But I wouldn't jump off my Team McFadden, ship quite yet. I think you're probably safe for a couple weeks.
All right. Well, we're definitely not jumping off. I have a really quick piggyback question on that. Now, you made a good point that we should only invest as much of our excitement into Michael as the Cowboys have invested monetarily. But my question to you would be, could we be possibly looking at a Rolando McClain type situation where, at face value, I mean, we made a trade to the Baltimore Ravens for a conditional 6th rounder you know, contingent upon certain things. And, you know, that guy is now that guy. We all know what Orlando contributed to the team and hopefully will do so this year after the four-game suspension. Do you not necessarily not see that kind of potential happening, but do you think Orlando was a lightning in a bottle type situation, or...
I think, yeah, you know, that's, it's funny to bring up Rolando around me because I'm a big Rolando fan, because I understand that there are a lot of people out there that, you know, and he definitely gives the Cowboys headaches with a lot of stuff that he does. But my counter argument to that is this is a guy who was sitting on his couch when we called him up to play starting middle linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys in the middle of training camp, and he answered the bell.
True.
And he answered the bell very well. And to your point, yes, I think that is a very apt comparison in the same way that it is a low, low, low risk, extremely potentially high reward situation. But the difference to me is that I think they're not counting on Michael the way that I think they were counting on Rolando McClain. I think McClain was, I think outside of McClain, they had nothing but really not great choices at middle linebacker. If we're to put ourselves back to where we were when McClain came on the team, you know, this is just post Sean Lee's injury. We didn't know what Hitchens was. We didn't know what any of our linebackers were, basically. You know, we didn't have any good options outside of McClain. So,
true.
You know, if he didn't hit, we were going to be in trouble. And thank goodness he did. Now, with Michael, I think they have the opportunity, because of the way the team is built, to give him time to kind of sort it out. Now, finally get to your question, yes, I like the comparison of it has the potential to being a low investment for a potential gangbang result. It's just a matter of, you know, is that, how long is that going to take? Is that going to happen? And if it doesn't happen, you know, what's the time frame for moving on? How much patience do they have with Michael? You know, what's their level of expectation? But I think in the same way that it was a low-cost, you know, potential high-reward investment, it is kind of similar to Rolando McClain. But the good news about it is that he's in an even lower-pressure situation than McClain was last year.
I'm going to jump back to the running back situation real quick. I don't know if you saw earlier, Landon. Clarence Hill posted on Twitter the unofficial depth chart.
I did see.
Yeah, leading up this week. So it was interesting to note Randall was listed as a starter. I'm sure this is going to change. Followed by Dunbar, then McFadden, then Michael. What do you think about that? Or what do you predict to actually be the depth?
Well, you know, if you remember, and this kind of goes back to, if you remember when Randall made his meat on the bone comment, There was a part of that same interview where someone asked him, what was it, and I'm, excuse me because I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it essentially boiled down to, you know, what's it like to be the back? You were the backup last year, and now you're the starter this year. And he looked kind of incredulously at the reporter and said, wasn't Dunbar the backup last year? And I think this is kind of the point, is that I think Dunbar has been listed as the number two running back even since last year. They technically view Dunbar as the number two running back, and maybe even they view him as 1B, with the idea that, like, he's the change of pace back who kind of just gets inserted into the lineup even with the ones. Now, I think what that means is that when you look at the depth chart, it may say Randall, Dunbar, McFadden, and Michael. But the truth of the matter is that the person who's probably next off the bench to get a Randall carry is probably McFadden. And Dunbar is going to come in on specific packages where they have specific plays for him. But I don't think that, like, you know, necessarily that if this was, like, a situation where Randall was the, you know, the pure starter or the bell cow or whatever, that if he got hurt, that Dunbar would be getting all his carries instead. I think, if anything, the true backup to Randall is probably McFadden. And, again, backup, the guy who's getting the normal carries out of, you know, 12 packages, out of, you know, non-kind of shotgun or, you know, any package of 21 packages. I think it's going to be Randall McFadden splitting those carries. And then what you'll see is Dunbar coming in on 11 packages, you know, or three wide receivers, shotgun situations, and coming in situationally to take advantage of his unique skill set.
Yeah, because I personally just don't see Dunbar being RB2. I just really need to see more from Dunbar to kind of justify his position on the you know, roster at all. But kind of segueing from that to the season opener, or more so the season in general, this team has not only taken a step up and upgrade. I mean, they've absolutely reloaded. I mean, I know there are a lot of questions about the running backs that we were talking about, but aside from that, I mean, you got everything from the pass rush upgrading. Yes, we lost Scandrick, but we do have, you know, a rookie in Byron Jones who shows some good talent. Patman with his great potential. Claiborne looks like he's going to come on strong this year. How far do you see this team going in 2015, honestly? Like, what kind of record do you see them finishing with, and where do you think their train stops?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think, you know, the thing that immediately when I consider all the factors and just looking at it where we are week one, the thing that really fascinates me is how does those first 4 weeks where we're not going to have McClain and Hardy set the tone for the rest of the season, right? Because this is the first season as a Cowboys fan in a long time where I can honestly look at the schedule and say, okay, the first half of the season is a lot harder than the second half of the season.
Right.
And in those first, you know, of those first 8 games, 4 of them were missing 2 of our best defensive players. So, and in those 4 games, 2 of those games are division games. And so, it's a tough thing. So I really think, you know, it's tough to make a prediction at this point. It's tough to make a prediction at any point, you know, in the preseason or before the regular season starts. But, you know, it's one of those things where I really almost want to see what happens the first 2 weeks, frankly, just to see if they can get through that gauntlet. The sky's the limit for this team. They are clearly as talented as any team in the league. They have the kind of depth almost across the board. I was telling, you know, my podcast partner, Rabble Rouser, the other day that this is the first time where you've got solid backups at almost every position, and in the positions you don't have backups, you've got good numbers. You know, you've got, like, you know, it's like the tackle position. Everyone's talking about, you know, Weems and the swing tackle and all this stuff, but maybe you don't have that, you know, lockdown solid swing tackle. But who, you know, first of all, who does? Second of all, now we have 2 good options for each tackle position. All right, and it's like safety. Yes, safety is probably our weakest positional group, you know, as far as top to bottom. But, you know, we also have Corey White and Byron Jones who can both play safety there. And I think, you know, one of them could actually develop into a good safety there. So, you know, keeping all those things in mind, keeping the schedule in mind, you know, keeping the division that we're playing in mind, I think, and this is just, you know, my guesstimation of what's going to happen, I think New York is going to probably peter out early. I think, you know, they had, unfortunately for them, they lost a lot of people. If you're looking at if you're reading the tea leaves on what's going on the waiver wire with them right now, they look like a team that's desperate to get defensive talent. You know, JPP just checked in with the Giants organization, and apparently they basically sent him home and told him, yeah, you're not playing anytime soon. So right. There could be the possibility that the Cowboys play both their Giants games against New York without JPP, and that's a big deal for them. You know, if they peter out early and we're able to get them, it's going to be all about how we match up with Philly, which is kind of tough to say at this point. I think, you know, obviously I feel confident against Philly, but it's hard to know for sure because we have no idea what Philly's going to look like, and I don't know that Philly knows what they're going to look like. So if all things go the way they should, then I think this is an easy 10-win team, you know, most likely wins the division. And, you know, I think Super Bowl is not unreasonable talk. I think Super Bowl is not unreasonable talk for anyone who makes it into the playoffs. But I think if the Cowboys get there, they've got no one that they should fear. That's for sure. I mean, they could play with any team in the league. As far as the information I have right now, I think they can play with any team in the league, and they shouldn't be afraid of anybody.
Oh, absolutely. My question to my beautiful co-host is this. Cam, do you think I should let Landon slide with the way he copped out on actually giving us a straightforward win-loss answer, or should I let him slide?
Well, okay. No. I don't want to be slid. I don't want to be.
You were dodging that question like O.J. Simpson in an interrogation room, sir.
That's fair. I was in the floor of the Bronco. I'll say this. I think 10-6 wins the division. I think the Cowboys go 11-5.
Okay. Solid.
How's that?
Solid. That sounds good. All right. It's been wonderful. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been just the highly respected and very, very appreciated in Cowboys Nation, Landon McCool, a.k.a. at McCoolBTB on Twitter. That is, again, at MCCoolBTB on Twitter. You can find him there for all of his good insight, and he's just a terrific guy. And Landon, Cam, and I want to thank you for joining us on Starstruck Radio, presented by CTC Sports.
Hey, Gabe, thanks for having me, guys, and congratulations on the new site and everything and all the success. I'm really excited about it, and I can't wait to make it part of my rotation for Cowboy sites I do every morning. So congrats, and welcome aboard.
We appreciate it, Landon, and look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
All right, and that does it for Landon McCool segment on Starstruck Radio. Another terrific, terrific spot with another gentleman who just absolutely knows the Dallas Cowboys inside and out, and providing some wonderful insight here with us on CTC Sports. That being said, we're going to take a little bit of a pause, non-commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I'm a classic man. You can be me when you look this clean. I'm a classic man.
Welcome back to Starstruck Radio, presented by CTC Sports. We just wanted to take another moment to thank Landon McCool from Blogging the Boys and Bobby Belt from Cowboys Cast for joining us tonight. I had a great time, Pat, and I know you did as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's always wonderful to have very intelligent, very insightful discussion about the Dallas Cowboys with people who just know exactly what's going on, not only with the team, but around the league and how those moves affect the team. So, as always, it's been a pleasure, Cammy. Starstruck Radio is really out here to appeal to the fans and give them what they want and what they need, because we're not always going to say what you want us to say, but it'll always be real, and we can guarantee you that. So, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Starstruck Radio, presented by CTC Sports, starring myself, Patrick Walker, and
Cammy Griffin.
And we will see you guys next week after the season opener with the New York Giants, as we will no doubt have a lot to discuss, hopefully coming off of a win. So again, make sure you visit ctclive.com, CTC Sports, and we're here for you guys. Reach out to us on Twitter. That being said, we out!
Yeah.